Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of items like pavers or planters to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hello there, boys and girls, and welcome to a special wildcard preview episode of Circling the Bases, proudly a part of NBC Sports Edge. I'm your host, Colin Henderson. Joining me today are some names you might recognize: Edge's own DJ Short, Drew Silva, and Christopher Crawford. The long slog of a full 162-game season is finally over, boys. Welcome to the playoffs.
Woo!
Yes.
Yeah, I love it.
I love it. I mean, it changes kind of what we do. You know, all season we're paying attention to fantasy baseball. Now you can just, you know, sit back and enjoy entertaining baseball, unless you're Drew. And I guess Colin, too. You got to deal with that. Like, it's, of course,
you'll be entertaining past Tuesday. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you always want your team to be in the playoffs, but there's that anxiety that comes along with it. But I guess myself and Chris, we can just kind of sit back and like root for entertaining baseball games. So
I've had 2 decades of being in this position. Yeah, I don't know if there's anyone more comfortable than sitting back and watching other teams succeed and wondering if we can get to 88 or 92 wins and not make the playoffs next year. It's just a curse. Right.
Too soon. You were close this year, man. We're gonna get you there next year. I promise. Yeah. The sun is brighter on the other side.
I'm already looking forward to hearing about how they tried, and they'll just try to run it back with this team. So I'm just already looking forward to all of that. Graham's gonna be 92 next year, Mariners.
Crawford's consistent level of optimism is always appreciated on our shows. I love that it is stuck on the four-person panel. Before we get to the show tonight, by the way, a quick shout-out to all you fantasy baseball champions out there. Now that the fantasy season is over, shouts to you guys. If you were able to come away with the title, hopefully with a little help from us here, if you're listening to the show, hopefully we were able to give you at least something that got you there. But if you did come home with a ship, please reach out to us so we can give you a proper shout out as a newly crowned champion. If you're watching this live, please type in. We'd love to give you a shout. If you're listening in podcast form, be sure to reach out to any of us on Twitter so we can give you a shout out on our next show.
We all Coming have up Venmo. On the sh-
What's that?
We all have Venmo.
Yes, we do.
We all have Venmo.
Well, yeah, we'll make sure we blast that out to everybody who needs it. Coming up on the show today, we will be getting everyone prepped and pumped for the upcoming AL and NL wildcard games. Drew and I need no prepping or pumping up. That's right, a full 162-game season comes down to just a single game. We've got the defending champion Dodgers looking to take down the Cardinals, easily the hottest team in the majors, while the greatest rivalry in baseball adds yet another chapter to its epic saga as the Red Sox host the Yankees. We'll be breaking down both games, and all of us will be making a case as to why any of the four teams can advance their respective division series. Looking for our full playoff preview? Don't you fret. We will be back Thursday morning in podcast form as we take a look at the final 8 teams and discuss the playoffs as a whole. Before we actually get to the games, a quick programming note here at Circling the Bases. Just because the fantasy season is over does not mean you get rid of us that easily. We'll be ending our live shows for now, but we will be still putting out new episodes, 3 new episodes per week as we move into the playoffs, with new episodes out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So please spend some of your October with us right here as we take you through the playoffs and into the offseason. So let's get to those games now, and let's start with Yankees versus Red Sox. I mean, somewhere Rob Manfred is just smiling and high-fiving people in an office when as soon as they got Yankees versus Red Sox, in a one-game playoff. Obviously, Yankees and Red Sox tied with 92 and 70 records. However, the Red Sox owned the head-to-head season record, so the game will be played at Fenway. And, I mean, where do we want to start with this? Chris, as our designated Boston backer here, just to put a something in my craw as we have to go head-to-head here, why don't you start us off? We have designated you as our Boston talking head. Give us a quick 90-second, two-minute case as to why the Red Sox win this game tomorrow night.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I think I have probably the worst case of anyone. You could argue Drew because the Dodgers have won so many more games, but he's a bandwagon. He is a fan of the team, and so he'll have an easier case.
How can you tell? How do you tell?
It's just an imitation in his voice, I guess. Inflection in his voice, I should say. So here's what I'll say. It is a home game for the Boston Red Sox, and the Boston Red Sox have been very good at home. I believe 49-32, which is an excellent home record. They made the playoffs for a reason. They have had a nice offensive season. It's a home game again. That's the biggest calling card. I think one thing that the Red Sox, I think, can take some solace in is that since Gerrit Cole exited with his injury, he has not been very good, and Gerrit Cole is going to be starting that game. Nick Pivetta is going to be opposing him. I think when Nick Pivetta is on, he looks like a potential ace. There are also those other starts, but when Nick Pivetta is pitching well, he looks like a potential fantasy ace. If you're looking for an X factor in this game, other than like Nick Pivetta hopefully pitching for Boston to his full potential, I think Garrett Whitlock is very important for this game. And I think he is someone who's going to need to give them two, maybe more innings of really good relief. Garrett Whitlock is pretty clearly, to me, the best pitcher on the staff, with all due respect to even Chris Sale and Nathan Eovaldi. I think Garrett Whitlock has the best stuff going on and best command right now. This is a pitcher with a 1.96 ERA, 81 strikeouts in 73 and one-third innings, ERA plus of 2.41 this year, which is very impressive. And if you watch him pitch, he has the stuff to do that. So if Boston can take a lead, I think they've got a shot if they can get to Garrett Whitlock and then somebody else closing the game. I have very little faith in Boston winning, and I'm very mad that I was asked to do this.
Well, what if Pivetta gets like knocked out in the second inning or something? Like, I think that's a distinct possibility. I mean, you could still see Whitlock then even, and he could be that middle, you know, get you to the end of the game almost.
Right, and that's the thing. It's like Whitlock was built to be a starter, so he should, even though he hasn't been stretched out as one whatsoever this year, I think he can give you those 2 1/3 innings, and maybe you're hoping then that you can use somebody. But he's going to be very important one way or another in this game.
Yeah. It's Eovaldi, not Pavetta.
Yeah, I was going to say, Eovaldi's starting that Red Sox game.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not good at what I do. So that's a big difference. I swear I read Nick Pivetta, and then
you heard me. I had to double check it on my end. I'm like, was I wrong? Did I make sure I typed it in right?
That is a big difference to me. Like, because Nathan Eovaldi has been excellent, and so that I think that gives him a little better chance. I'm still very not confident in. I've just especially like you have to talk about the negatives too. This team really struggled offensively towards the end of the year. Struggled with runners on base for a large portion of the year. The Kyle Schwarber addition certainly helps, but like there's really nothing to rely on here. And then JD Martinez, we're going to have to find out if he can even play in this game, one of their best offensive players. I look forward to one of you telling me that he's already been cleared to play or something like that based on my research with the Nick Pivetta. But yeah, I don't like Boston's chances in this game very much. But if you can get 6 out of Eovaldi, 2 out of Garrett Whitlock, and 1 out of whoever the heck wants to close that game, be it Hansel Robles or somebody else, maybe they got a shot.
Hansel Robles.
It's raining hard in Boston right now, so I guess it's a good thing they got the AL wild card matchup sorted without any need for Monday tiebreakers. Like, if there had been a 3-way tie, that game, one of the games would have been at Fenway Park. Gotcha. Should be mostly clear on Tuesday night after a bit more rain tomorrow morning. And temperatures in the low to mid-50s at game time, which sounds like a great night for a meaningful game at Fenway Park. I'm looking forward to it. I think the Red Sox, it's probably 55-45 to me. Like, I think it's close. I think it's a toss-up. I would take – I mean, obviously, Gerrit Cole's a big advantage over Nathan Eovaldi. But Eovaldi can be good at times too. He's been good recently, kind of up and down throughout the year. But overall, that contract that the Red Sox signed him to, I think, has turned into a really good deal.
Yeah, totally.
In the grand scheme of things. And
well, we should say this, just, you know, zooming out a bit. It's one game. And yeah,
that's the thing.
Anything can happen. Like, I think we have to preface anything we're saying right now that it's baseball and, like, weird stuff can happen. So even though you're going into this thinking, you know, Cole, you want to bet on him, who knows? You know, Eovaldi could pitch. I mean, Eovaldi's had a good season. He could pitch a great game, you know, so he's certainly capable of that. And it looks like Gio Urshela is going to play. I guess you're going to get into the Yankees part of it, but that was an amazing play that he made. And then to get up and continue playing.
I like hand over mouth scared. Yeah. Like as soon as that one happened, there was no slowing down into that dugout.
Yeah. You couldn't
place that dugout door, so to speak, in a worse spot for that moment.
Right. And the thing that was interesting about that, it's not like one of those plays where there's like a pop-up and like you're leaning over the opposing dugout's railing and like they don't want to help. It's like nobody could foresee a player running at full speed. Like nobody would have expected that. I think if they knew that was coming, they probably would have tried to brace his fall. But like there was no way to expect that to happen. So
that was scary. And I do want to note something real quick, that Drew knew the weather for Boston better than I knew the starting pitcher for Boston. And I guess I get why he.
Well, are you betting on this game, Drew?
No, okay. I don't really bet baseball, to be honest.
Big East basketball. That's all.
Basketball and like six game NFL parlays.
There you go.
That's where
lottery tickets as much as you can grab them.
Yeah,
exactly. Yankees, for those of you out there who are interested in betting, Yankees, as of this recording, -126 against the Red Sox money line. I think that's mostly thanks to Gerrit Cole, and that'll be a good segue for me to jump into here. The Yankees are going to win this game, at least in theory, because of Gerrit Cole. And there's a reason why you sign a guy to a $300-plus million contract, just blow open the doors of the largest contract ever handed to a pitcher. And it's for games exactly like this. This is the entire reason why you go and sign someone like Gerrit Cole. It's one of the things that's been missing from the Yankees rotation for the last few years pre-Gerrit Cole was just they did not have that one guy to hand the ball to in a, you know, one game playoff, a game seven, and feel 100% confident that you got that. Gerrit Cole's about as close as the Yankees have felt that since CC Sabathia in 09 or so, give or take. Sure. Yankees +42 run differential, which is eighth in the American League, which is not a great number, or eighth in the majors, excuse me, which is not a great number. But this has been a team, as anybody who has followed the Yankees this year knows, when they're hot, they look like one of the best teams in the league. And when they're not, they look putrid, just absolutely awful. And right now, fortunately for Yankee fans, Yankees playing pretty good baseball of late. Yes, they only took one out of two from the Rays, and that was about the skinniest of wins that you could possibly have gotten in game 162, but it was a win and it got them here. So I'll take
maybe
it. I'll take
the softest ball that Aaron has ever hit.
I know for a walk-off. Yeah. That's easily the softest walk-off he's ever had that went into play that he didn't have like a walk or something. Get it done.
Yeah.
Injury wise, as you mentioned though, Gio Urshela should play. He was back out after falling into the dugout, he came back and played the rest of that game, which was nuts.
So crazy.
But DJ LeMahieu with a sports hernia out on the 10-day IL. He will hopefully be back if the Yankees are able to make it to the ALCS, which is a big if, obviously. You got to get past Boston, then past Tampa. So that is a big loss. Luke Voit out for the year. That's recent, so that is going to hurt them there. Granted, Anthony Rizzo being on the roster kind of makes Luke Voit a little less of a necessity and more of a present. The pitching staff, meanwhile, has been as healthy as it's been all year. Luis Severino has come back from his Tommy John surgery and has looked excellent so far. Has not given up a run coming out of the bullpen. Meanwhile, guys like Chad Green, Loaisiga, and Aroldis Chapman closing down the back end. It's a very strong bullpen that still exists. And that's not including Clay Holmes, that few people know enough about, but has a 1.46 ERA since coming over to the Yankees midseason. He's looked incredible. Just an absolute massive boost to that bullpen. The Red Sox hold the series tiebreaker, but this has been a tale of two seasons between these two clubs as the Yankees have dominated the Sox of late. They've swept them in their last two meetings. They're going 6-0, and they've won seven of their last eight. and 9 of the last 12 against the Red Sox. So the Yankees yep. have a little bit more of a recency bias there. And despite the Red Sox having one of the best offenses in the league, they've only scored 4 or more runs against the Yankees pitching staff in 3 of their last 12 games head-to-head. So while that offense has been very good, they have not been able to get to Yankee pitching, or at least in the blow-up way. So there's a lot to kind of go on here, but Chris kind of alluded to it in his very lukewarm endorsement of the Red Sox, and that was the Yankees are kind of, at least from my perspective, they feel like the general favorite, even though they're on the road, they feel like the favorite entering this game. They're playing better baseball. They have the better pitcher on the bump. And right now, if you're telling me there's a lineup that's got a healthy and productive Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton at the yep. same time, which is something sure. that Yankee fans have barely been able to see since those two have worn the same uniform, give me the Yankees in this game. I feel pretty good about that, hopefully moving forward.
They would be in a bad spot at first base had they not acquired Anthony Rizzo from the Cubs in July, because LeMahieu yeah. and Voit both on the IL right as the postseason arrives. And you just look at this matchup, and it screams Gerrit Cole's going to dominate. He'll be making his 5th career start in a winner-take-all postseason game. That's tied with Roger Clemens for the most such outings in Major League history. Cole's 1-2 in those games. He's only 16-14 this year, too. I mean, in games that he pitched. So he's 16-8 is his win-loss record, but he's 16-14. There have been some bad blow-ups, especially around the time that the sticky stuff crackdown happened. But he seemed to kind of change the way he pitched a bit, and the strikeout rate never really went down. He had like a few outings where he didn't rack up many Ks, but he's been really good overall, especially ratio-wise. I would trust him. He's got a 3.09 ERA in his previous 4 loser goes home outings. Aaron Judge has homered in 3 separate do or die postseason games. It feels like this is a Yankees team that's going to rise to the occasion. But again, Cole is 1-2 in these kind of games, and 16-14 on the year. He's certainly gettable, and the Red Sox offense is capable of getting to him in a 1-game, you know, coin flip.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, like, it's really just depends on which version of Gerrit Cole I think we're going to see, because it is worth pointing out, over his last 3 starts, 5 2/3 innings where he allowed 7 runs and 2 homers against Cleveland, 6 innings and 3 runs, certainly not bad, but another homer allowed. And then in his last starts, 5 runs, 2 homers allowed. After giving up 5 total runs in his first 3 starts in September, he's allowed 15 in the last 3. And I do kind of wonder if he's 100% healthy. It's just something that, you know, you have to be a little bit cognizant of. But if he's a semblance of him, I think the Yankees win this game. I just think they're just a better overall team that is playing better, despite struggling in those 2 games against Tampa Bay before. You know, they slightly gave Grandma hope there for just a second, and then needed, like you said, the ultimate pillow hit by Aaron Judge in order to get the walk-off in that game. But it just, on paper anyway, and Lord knows, it's still funny to me that this is the most boring thing that could have happened, by the way, between all of these matchups, is, oh gosh, we're stuck with Boston versus New York instead of all of the entropy and stuff. But yeah, if Gerrit Cole is the pitcher that we saw in early September, I think the Yankees win pretty easily.
He's pitched 3 times at Boston this year. In June, a bad outing, 6 runs over 5 innings. In July, 3 runs over 5 innings. And then you mentioned that start a few weeks ago.
Right.
3 runs over 6 innings. So, I mean, not terrible, but not as dominant as he's been against some other teams and some other locations.
But if either of the starters have to leave in, say, the 5th inning,
right,
I have more faith in the Yankees bullpen.
Yeah. Big time.
Big time. Yeah.
Than the Red Sox. And that might be the X factor of this game.
Yeah.
Especially considering how good Severino has looked since coming back. If you're telling me that between the Red Sox and the Yankees, I need someone to get me 3 to 4 innings from the 3rd to 7th or something along those lines.
Right.
Give me Severino in that spot, or Nestor Cortez, or whoever else you want to throw out there.
Yeah.
Versus really, you know, Sawakuma or anybody else that you're going to throw out from the Red Sox side. There just isn't that guy that you can really kind of grab on and say, like, I trust you to get me 9 outs.
No, right. Whitlock is the only guy in that pitching staff right now that I truly trust. And that's part of me.
And they're not carrying Chris Sale because he pitched Sunday, right? So he won't even be like available for an inning.
Right.
I would think that would be kind of his between starts. I guess not. It would be like Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess he can't go. anyway.
Yeah. We'll see. All right. So let me just get some, I'll get some general predictions out there. Unless anybody else has any other talking points you want to get on this game. Let's take some predictions here. All right. So Chris, I know you're Yankees. I'm Yankees. Are we Yankees across the board?
I'm Yankees.
I'm Yankees. I'm Rich. Yankees.
And we're chalk.
I want to be contrarian, but I can't really do it.
You can be contrarian with this next game, I think.
Yeah, I promise. I promise. last parting shot on that Yankee game. Just a note, obviously, with it being a cold game, that means Kyle Higashioka will be catching it and not Gary Sanchez. Not only does that end up usually better for Garrett Cole, but the defense in the back at the backstop, very important in kind of a one-game playoff. Higashioka and defensive improvement over Gary Sanchez. I think that helps out quite a bit during that game. But before we get to the Cardinals and Dodgers and let Drew just monologue for a while, all you fantasy football, basketball, and hockey players out there, are you looking for a great place to read some in-depth articles, find expert rankings and projections, and get some much-needed draft help? Of course you do. So make sure you are signed up for NBC Sports Edge Plus. Signing up for Edge Plus gets you access to our fantasy football, basketball, and hockey sections, in addition to our incredible baseball and sports betting content. As a reward for our listeners, be sure to use the promo code BASES10 to get 10% off any premium subscription package, either monthly or annually, regardless of tier. So to find your edge, make sure you are signed up for NBC Sports Edge Plus. The promo code again is BASES10. Also, the NFL season is in full swing, and the NBC Sports Predictor app has you covered. With Sunday Night 7, predict what will happen on Sunday Night Football for a chance to win up to $100,000 every week. It's free and easy to play. Download today from your app store or visit nbcsports.com/predictor.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same day delivery on thousands of items like pavers or planters to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So let's get to that second game now, and let's intro it up. Cardinals and 40-year-old Adam Wainwright versus the Dodgers and 39-year-old Max Scherzer. And the two of them are going to go head-to-head, and I have been looking forward to that pitching duo since we realized that that was going to be the wild card game. Drew, why don't you start us off here? Give us your case as to why the Cardinals upset the defending champion Dodgers.
Yeah, run it back to 2013 with this matchup, Scherzer and Wainwright.
With Scherzer and Wainwright, yeah. Molina catching them.
Yeah, the case for the Cardinals advancing past the wild card game would be devil magic. and I've done a lot of research into devil magic, but yeah, I mean, seriously, the Cardinals they're going to be big underdogs in this one. The money line when I checked this afternoon was Cardinals +180, Dodgers at -220. So you'd be laying down $220 on the Dodgers to win just $100.
And it's now 250, by the way.
Okay. So, I mean, there's some public action on the Cardinals. That's interesting. And betting lines are made to create action, and the Dodgers are a very public team. So it doesn't hurt a sports book to start it there and have it drop a little bit. But that kind of paints the picture for the expectations of this game. And I told DJ and George Bissell on our final regular season podcast on Thursday that I, as a Cardinals fan, have zero expectations for this team to advance at all. We'll see if that mindset changes as we get closer to first pitch on Wednesday evening. I'm making a big batch of my award-winning chili, having some friends over might enjoy some beers. And when I say some, I mean a lot of beers. So just some really good October vibes over here. I got the jacket. I got the Yachty tumbler. You know, no expectations. I'm cruising. Yeah. But this is an illuminating note. And you mentioned that the Cardinals are the hottest team in baseball. But and along their ridiculous run to close out the 2021 regular season, which at one point featured a franchise record 17 game winning streak, their overall record in the final 5 weeks between the start of September and the first weekend of October, which just passed, was 23-9. And you want to guess the Dodgers' record in that same stretch?
I know it's better.
Yeah, 22-7.
Yeah.
So that's illuminating. The Cardinals, I mean, they weren't even really the hottest team in baseball in the grand scheme of things. That label would go to either the Dodgers or the Giants, who somehow managed to fend the Dodgers off for the NL West title. So what the Giants finished with, what, 107 wins? Is that the most since your Mariners, Chris? Or it's up there, right? I don't think anyone's gotten past 110.
I feel like it's the most wins since the 86 Mets, or maybe that was the National League. But yeah. I'm pretty sure at least in the National League, it's the most wins since 1986.
I was going to say 98 Yankees, I think, hit 110 or 111 or something like that.
Drew, why are you asking me? I don't even know who's pitching for the Red Sox. How am I supposed to know who it is?
You're checked out. Once Grandma checked out, you checked out too. That's fine.
I understand. It's okay. You saw Jared Kelly cry, and it was over for you.
This is one game like we've been saying over and over, and the Cardinals did win three of their seven games this season against the Dodgers, including the last two to close out a four-game series at Busch Stadium back in early September. That was like the series before their winning streak began. Adam Wainwright is obviously used to big moments. He's pitching in his 16th season, his ninth postseason now at age 40. He earned four playoff saves as a rookie in 2006. En route to winning his first World Series ring, coming off a 17-win regular season, a 3.05 ERA. He's more like cerebral than dominant at this point in his career, pitches to soft contact, which works with that excellent Cardinals defense behind him. It really is a special defensive group that, you know, could net four or five gold gloves whenever those votes come out. I do wonder how much that factors into one game. Like it's a lot more of an advantage over a longer series or, you know, a full season, but we'll see. And it'll be a all hands on deck approach to the bullpen options after Wainwright, or if he stumbles. I could see Giovanni Gallegos coming in early to put out a fire. He's definitely their best reliever right now. TJ McFarland has become a double play inducing machine with that great defense behind him. Not something you really want to count on to have him put out fires, but Alex Reyes, Luis Garcia, Genesis Cabrera, maybe get an inning or two out of Jack Flaherty. I don't think they had decided by the time we hopped on here whether they're going to carry Flaherty on the roster for the wild card game. Dakota Hudson, I think, will be on there as like a handcuff in case Wainwright's getting rocked early. He's another soft contact guy who could maybe go three or four innings if they really need him to. And this lineup's been clicking in the second half. Tyler O'Neill just won player of the month for September. He could get down ballot MVP votes for what he's done offensively and defensively. Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, those three all finished with 30-plus home runs, the first time the Cardinals have had three 30-plus home run hitters since 2004 when it was Albert Pujols, Jim Edmonds, and Scott Rowland, who carried the MV3 nickname that year, wound up losing to the Red Sox, who were like a team of destiny in the 2004 World Series. I was at Game 3, which Pedro Martinez pitched. That was a boring night. I think the Cardinals had two hits in that one. Yeah. Dylan Carlson has turned it on lately. Harrison Bader had a really good final month. Tommy Edman has been a disappointment overall, but he got to 30 stolen bases and a bunch of doubles. He could be a spark plug at times with his speed, a smart hitter who generally takes good at bats. Edmundo Sosa is impressed when healthy down the stretch. And there's always Yadier Molina to like bloop an RBI single to shallow left, shallow right field in the seventh inning and just frustrate the hell out of everybody. Yeah. The case for the Cardinals advancing is that this is a crazy sport that we love, and it's not meant to be played in one game spurts like this and winner advances scenarios. And they have just enough pieces to maybe get it done. They have experience. And I don't know, if you asked me to script it as a Cardinals fan under the impression that they would or could make a deep run, you'd want the Dodgers in this one game wild card, because if you get past them, you get past Max Scherzer in Los Angeles, I don't think the Giants or Brewers or Braves would be very intimidating opponents the rest of the way. Not that I like really believe in the Cardinals making a deep run, but you know what I'm saying? Like the Dodgers are clearly the cream of the crop in this field. It's on if the Cardinals get through Wednesday, and I know you guys are going to do a show on Wednesday night that I'm going to be non-sober for.
Yeah, I mean, it would be entertaining if you did pop
in. I was going to say, if you're feeling the mood to call in and let us know one way or the other, I think I'm more than happy to take that.
Drew, let me ask you two questions. First question is, you did talk about like wanting to get past the Dodgers, but one, would you feel more confident, and it's weird to say about a team that won 107 games, but would you feel more confident in this game if it was against the Giants? And two, since you brought up chili, do you have any thoughts on Cincinnati chili?
I would have much rather them play the Giants if I only wanted them to advance past the wild card game.
Gotcha.
But if I want them to win the World Series, the Giants in a 5-game series is so much more comfortable than the Dodgers in a 5-game series. So this is the path that I'm okay with the Cardinals having to take. It would have been nice if they had to play a game 163 today.
Right.
So they would have had to burn Scherzer and Gausman or whoever the Giants would have thrown. And then on Cincinnati chili, I've told this story a ton on various podcasts, but so I went to the University of Dayton, which is like 30 miles north of Cincinnati. And I'd heard about Skyline chili, like, you know, at various times throughout my life. And my mom like took me grocery shopping my freshman year, and we were at Walmart or Kroger or something. I saw Skyline on the shelf. I was like, I like chili. I should just get a couple cans of that. And I heated it up one night in my dorm, like the first week I was there. And I found out really quickly that you're not just supposed to eat the chili by itself. Like you're supposed to put it over a hot dog or over some pasta or something, or like load it up with cheese. And so to me, that's not really chili. That's topping. And yeah, the chili that I make is chili. Like you can just eat it alone. Or, yeah, I mean, I put some shredded cheese in there and some diced onions. And
would you put Provel on your Cincinnati chili?
I've never tried Provel and chili, but it's not a terrible idea.
I don't love the fact that his initial thought was not, no,
I'm going home. I can't
do this. I don't love if that was his initial thought.
I can't do this.
We're way off the rails here.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, that's a huge surprise.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I saw this afternoon that Joe West will be the home plate umpire for this. He is somewhat of a regular at the bar/restaurant where I got married 3 weeks ago here in St. Louis. So
nice.
Take that for what that's worth if you're betting Cardinals money line.
Interesting.
A little Joe West juice, the cowboy.
Look, I will happily put some money that we have to say Joe West's name after the game because he'll be involved in it somehow one way or the other.
Yeah.
All right. Fair. So DJ, let's flip over to the Dodgers here. Obviously Drew went through the cards. Give us, and I know we gave you the hard job here. You really got short straw. Give us your case as to why the Dodgers are able to take out Adam Wainwright in the cards.
Well, I mean, the Dodgers have won more games than any other wild card team or second place team ever, for that matter.
Yeah.
This is a team like, you know, all things being equal, should not be a one game playoff type of team. They've also won 15 straight games at Dodger Stadium. So that home is a big deal for them. And it's Max Scherzer out there. You know, this is why the Dodgers acquired Max Scherzer, you know, especially knowing Clayton Kershaw's done for the season. I mean, that staff is pretty deep, even with the issues they've gone through this year. And I know that Scherzer's allowed 10 runs over his last two starts, but one of those starts was in Coors Field. So I'm just kind of like, I'm throwing that out. Mm-hmm. I don't really care. 1.98 ERA over 11 starts since coming over to the Dodgers. So he's the kind of guy who can take you through eight and dominate all the way. You know, I think one thing to watch though is Max Muncy missing from this lineup.
Sure.
That was a really ugly injury.
Yeah. Have they announced what? That's at least a hyper extent. That could be like ligament stuff, right?
Yeah, they were still running tests as of Sunday. I haven't heard an update yet. I was putting the kids to bed, so I don't know if anything broke recently.
Nothing yet. Still, they're going to make an announcement at some point tomorrow. They said.
Yeah, but you know, unlikely, obviously, for Wednesday. Probably unlikely, you know, for at least the next round. But the way it looked, like I was actually watching MLB Network, and Cliff Floyd was on at the time. And that's relevant because Cliff Floyd suffered a terrible injury early in his career, which is always shown anytime there's that play where the first baseman reaches into the base runner. So we'll see what happens there. But Muncy, he's been amazing this year, career high 36 home runs. So it disrupts the rhythm in that lineup. Obviously, a big lefty bat. You know, he's their primary first baseman. They could mix it up a bit, but we're talking about relying on maybe Cody Bellinger to play first base, Matt Beattie, maybe Pujols. I don't know. Probably not, though, given that he's a right-handed bat. But, you know, Chris Taylor could play center field. So, like, there's just that uncertainty in the lineup. You still feel really good about the Dodgers lineup, obviously, with the way Trey Turner's been hitting. Corey Seager's been amazing, too. So, I love the lineup. It's just not as deep as it was before. So, I think that's something to watch there, but Max Scherzer on the hill. I feel pretty good that he's going to go deep into this game.
And you know, the Cardinals don't really have a great, like a standout left-handed hitter.
Yeah, I was looking at that earlier and I was like, I guess, you know, you're going to fear Tyler O'Neill no matter what with the way he's been swinging the bat, but they just don't have that big lefty bat. Like, it's just that's a glaring difference to me as well when I was looking at the matchups here.
Yeah. I thought Drew brought up a good point actually before we started recording too, that this game is going to be taking place at 5 o'clock in Los Angeles.
Shadows. And
sunset is at 6:43 that night. So I think we're going to get some pretty good shadows. So if you're looking at like the under, I think the 7.5 was what it was the last time I looked for the over or under. I think I'd take the under.
I mean, I could see.
Yeah. I think I could easily see, all due respect, Drew, like a 4-1 game or a 3, maybe even 3-0 or something like that, or even 5-1 or something like that. Like that, you're still talking about under that. That's a lot of runs for a game that's going to be played with two really good pitchers. Like you were talking about Adam Wainwright earlier, Drew. Like, you know, he's not exactly a flamethrower. He never really was, but like he's missed a lot of bats this year. Like, and to me, one of the biggest surprises this year was Adam Wainwright at that age to throw 200 innings is just incredible. I think you could lock him in for like 6 innings of 3-run baseball. It's just going to be a matter of whether or not that's enough.
He's very curveball heavy, and he's all about location. With Joe West behind the plate, if he's getting some borderline calls,
could be some friendly strikes on,
with some shadows early on where hitters are having trouble picking up the ball out of his hand or whatever. I like it. I think it's either a Dodgers blowout or it's like a really weird 3-1, 2-1 kind of game.
I don't know. If the Dodgers,
so Drew, what will be the moment where you start to get your hopes up? Like I ask this because obviously Scherzer versus Wainwright, and you know, baseball games can flip on a, you know, immediately based on how a pitcher comes out. Wainwright being a curveball guy, that's a very feel pitch. He needs to be throwing that well. He needs to be hitting the spots that he can. But if this is a 0-0 game into the third inning, you know, if he's able to get to that spot, like, is that the spot where you suddenly go like, okay, we got through their lineup once, like we can do it again and hopefully a third time and still be able to come out on top?
That's my exact answer, Colin. If it's a Cardinals lead or it's a 0-0 game after three, or even like even if Wainwright has just given up one run, I'm going to start talking if they get any kind of thing going against Scherzer at all, I'm starting to like actually believe, which is, you know, problematic for
dangerous. Yeah.
You know, one thing that I think is interesting about the 7-inning doubleheaders, I think in a way it prepares managers for how to think of managing a postseason game.
You're right.
Yeah,
totally.
So some of these managers have already been tested. Like, you know, my starter doesn't have it. I need to get him out.
And the Cardinals played 17 doubleheaders last year, and that's Well, and Schilt, because he hasn't really, because their rotation has been so littered with injuries throughout the year, has had to get really aggressive. So he's prepared. Yeah. He'll be prepared to pull Wainwright if it doesn't look good right away. And I kind of hope they carry Flaherty. He's looked better and better. He did not look ready when he first came back against the Cubs. Right. I guess that was like a week to 10 days ago. But he's looked better and better location-wise and velocity-wise coming off that shoulder. I guess it was inflammation. So that's encouraging going into 2022, even if they don't get through Wednesday night. See, boys, zero expectations.
We all have zero expectations until first pitch, and then all of a sudden we forget about that.
I know, quickly. I know. I'm just trying to, like, keep calm.
You've got an extra day of weight, like, unlike I do, all right? Yeah. I've got a mindset coming up a little quicker.
Yeah.
All right, so let's hit some of those predictions now. Drew, I'm going to take a wild assumption and say that you're going to back your cards. You're going to look real bad if the Cards end up winning and you pick the Dodgers in this moment. It's going to look real
bad. If I'm being honest with myself, everything screams Dodgers.
Yeah.
And I got to be a little bit realistic, and I am kind of a pessimistic Cardinals fan, even though the outfit wouldn't tell you that.
All right, so Dodgers won. DJ? Dodgers.
It's got to be Dodgers. But, you know, I'm rooting for entertaining baseball. Yeah, so, like, I'll take whatever happens, and I'll be happy about it. So, but, yeah, logically, Dodgers.
The logic tells me Dodgers, but there's also something about seeing other people unhappy. So I'm going to go with the Dodgers in a row.
You know what? I'm going to go with the Cardinals mainly because, A, I don't want to keep agreeing with all three of you. And two, you know what? I'm going to focus on the one game aspect. This is again, the Dodgers won 106 games this year. They lost 56. I'm not saying that's unbelievable, that record. But
the other
team
lost 72.
No question. But I'm saying it's one game. It's absolutely one game. So you know what? Wainwright has a great start. Scherzer maybe doesn't go the distance. All of a sudden, this turns into something close. Do I think it's going to happen? No. But am I going to give the Cardinals a little bit of a nod? Sure, why not?
Let's Solidarity, Colin. I like it.
I get the one game thing, but like Alabama versus Alabama State is a one game.
You know, those are totally different.
I was going to say, I'm not sure we're going to compare that.
Anything can happen in one game in that situation, too. It's very cool to see what the Cardinals
have
done.
It's a little closer than Alabama and Alabama State.
Thank you for that.
Just a tiny bit closer.
But if you're going to use your stupid cliche, I'm going to make your cliche point out that it's a stupid cliche. The Dodgers are just a lot better baseball team. But hope it's close. It's better for me if it's close than if we have a nice playoff baseball is the best. So I really hope we get it.
Rob Manfred wants the games to be tight and the eighth inning. You know?
That's all he cares about. He wants the closers on both sides to get warmed up in the pen. If they are, then that means that everything has been checked off the list.
Yes, sir. And we just want Rob Manfred to be happy.
So. Yeah, absolutely.
As a unit, as a team, that's really all we care about at the end of it. Just entertaining baseball is a secondary issue. We just want Rob Manfred to be happy.
Yes.
Guys, everyone out there, please enjoy the next two games. We will be back here on Thursday morning to not only talk about the two wild card games that happened, but also to start previewing the final eight now that we will have our full playoff series set. So that just about does it for our show for tonight. If you like what you're hearing, please make sure you're subscribed to Circling the Bases wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, please be sure to rate and review us. You can follow me on Twitter at Kyle Don't Lie. You can follow Chris at Crawford_MILB, Drew at Drew Silv, and DJ at DJ Short. Be sure to tune back in Thursday, like I said, as we'll all get the gang back together, sans Drew, for a full postseason preview show. It will obviously be a banger of an episode, so make sure you don't miss it. So until next time, stay safe out there. And as always, thanks for the listen. And most importantly, go Yankees.
Go Cards.
Love you, Dom Smith.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same day delivery on thousands of items like pavers or planters to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.